This is our number two.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
It is a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15, and I have for you what might be the funniest, the most ridiculous story of the year. I will get to that in just a moment. I'm a little hurt, I have to admit, as I begin the Fastest 15. Feelings kind of bad. Nicole Thompson has inadvertently, she doesn't even know this, she's hurt my feelings today.
Uh-oh. What'd I do?
Well, we talk a lot. You can't just, the show doesn't just come together willy-nilly. We don't just throw stuff against a wall and see what sticks. It's actually the product of an awful lot of planning, and Nicole and I talk an awful lot, and we were talking like 11 o'clock last night, right?
Yeah, hello? We're around the clock.
Okay, I'm sorry.
It's around the clock, okay. Mission here.
So then I go on Twitter, and that's where I find out that you're going salmon fishing this weekend.
I told you that. So this is going to come back.
No, you
back
did
at
not.
You've
never
did.
Told me this.
So
absolutely
I believe
not.
You're only listening occasionally to me then. Just like my mother. I have this agreement with her all the time. You hear what you want to hear.
I could be guilty of that at times, but you never told me you were going salmon fishing this weekend.
I at least said fishing, but.
And where? Where are we going?
Oh, gosh. I forget the name of the city, but it's up past Forks, I think, in that area.
Off the peninsula?
Yes.
And can I ask whose boat you're going out on?
Brandy's boyfriend's.
Oh,
I don't care. It's Brandy's boyfriend's parents.
Okay, tell me.
Mm-hmm.
You absolutely have not told me this. Okay. So now you have to see if you can beat my biggest salmon catch-up in Sitka last year.
Oh,
that'll
I bet I'll
challenge.
Have a hard time, but
I
will
want to make this
try.
Into a competition.
How many pounds?
Okay, all right. I'll have to ask Brock and Tom. I don't remember. 20? 16? It wasn't a monster. But for my first one ever, it was thrilling. It was
okay.
Great. So
it's been a while
yeah,
for me.
I've been thinking a lot of that was my first one ever, as you know, up in Sitka, and it's just what an experience. Just to be on the sea. Have I told you my theory about why the ocean is so soul-cleansing for us humans? Have I ever talked to you about that?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Finally, a story you haven't heard before.
Well, so, I say that and then you tell it and I'll be like, yeah, I've heard that before.
No, and I am a believer in God and in creation, and I have to really make this story sing and hum, you have to be a little bit of an evolutionist, which truly I'm not. But here's why I think humans have such a connection to the sea and why it is such a soul-cleansing place. And if you're at the ocean, if you're on a cliff, on a bluff that overlooks the ocean, that it's just, you feel alive. And the reason is, the salinity of the ocean is almost identical to the salinity in the human body. And some believe that's because thousands and thousands, tens of thousands of years ago, when the creature crawled out of the primordial ooze of the ocean and eventually developed legs and eventually became man, that's why we feel such a connection. And that's why the salinity of the human body is similar to that of the ocean, because we come from the sea. Have I ever told you that theory before?
Wow. I don't know. I don't think so.
It's pretty heavy. It's pretty deep.
It is.
Kind of stuff. That's an exclusive. That's a Dori Monson Show exclusive.
Okay.
On that. Okay.
It is my favorite feeling, though, being on the water.
Yeah, absolutely.
I do.
Absolutely.
I feel the most at peace.
Let me get to the fastest 15 here. Am I engaging in hyperbole, in your view, when I say this might be the funniest, most ridiculous story of the year so far?
No. I would agree with that. I was very sad to hear this news.
Okay, and I will say that I'm very pleased, I'm thrilled. A member of this organization is going to come on with us. Nicole just told me 5 minutes ago during the news, 8 minutes ago, that she has secured an interview with a member of this organization, and I'm absolutely thrilled about it. Okay, so let me tell you the story here. Several years ago, and I want to thank my listeners. This is another Dori Monson Show exclusive, because a couple of listeners reached out to me about this last night, and one was listener Mary, and gosh, I don't remember the name of the other woman who did, but Finney Ridge is just east from where I grew up in Ballard. Finney Ridge is up near the Woodland Park Zoo. It's a nice little old Seattle neighborhood. It's a cool neighborhood. Several years ago, the Finney Neighborhood Association, they thought we should do something cool around Christmas time. So that, because at Woodland Park Zoo, they do something called Zoo Lights. And they thought, well, if people are coming to the zoo for a Christmas time event, what could we do as a business community, as a neighborhood, that would make them just want to drive around a little bit more? Which I think is a really cool idea. It takes me back to when I was a kid, because there was a neighborhood at the north end of Ballard called Olympic Manor. And by today's standards, Olympic Manor is just kind of a typical middle-class Seattle neighborhood. When I was a kid, it was the newish neighborhood in the Ballard area. And they would change the name of Olympic Manor. They have a big brick signage at the entryway to Olympic Manor. And they would change the name of Olympic Manor to Melody Manor. And the people who lived in this neighborhood, they would do, it's not quite like Icicle Lane now down by U Village there, but it was kind of the same concept. They would do more decorating their houses with Christmas lights than most neighborhoods did. And so it was a big deal for me as a kid. So I would jump in the car and we'd go and drive through Olympic Manor to look at the Christmas lights on the houses. And I just think that's a very sweet, family, just traditional type of thing to do. So, to their credit, the Finney Neighborhood Association, a few years ago, they said, what can we do that would be unique and fun? And they thought, well, you know what? We're right next to Woodland Park Zoo. We're hoping to attract people who go to the Woodland Park Zoo Christmas time events. What animal is the most beloved when you go to the zoo? And we could have an argument about, you know, the answer to that. But who doesn't love monkeys? Monkeys are delightful. They're cute. They're charming. So Finney Ridge Neighborhood Association, they said, how about this? Our businesses, homes, if they want, will get some LED monkeys and we'll hang them outside the businesses. We hang them in the windows of homes, and people can drive through the neighborhood and see all these whimsical lit up monkeys. And it'll be perfect accompaniment to our neighbors at the Woodland Park Zoo. Beautiful. So they've been doing that for several years now. What a wonderful family-type tradition. In fact, I found a story just from December of 2019 at seattlemag.com. Headline, Why Glowing Monkeys Are All Over Finney Ridge and Greenwood. And the subhead, Cheery LED Animals Are More Than Mere Holiday Decorations. And then they have a picture of Greenwood Hardware where they had a couple of LED monkeys hanging inside a window in the front door. It's really sweet. Okay, that was 8 months ago. Fast forward to woke culture 2020. I'm going to read to you the letter from the Finney Neighborhood Association that they sent out 4 days ago. Headline, Anti-Racism Work Updates, Eliminating Racist Symbolism. So let me read to you what they just posted. Dear Finneywood community, we have a few updates to share with you about our ongoing commitment to anti-racism and equity, diversity, and inclusion at the Finney Neighborhood Association. You are probably familiar with the neighborhood tradition of the winter holiday monkeys. For the last 5 years, these LED-lit metal monkeys hung in the windows of businesses and organizations along the Finney-Greenwood corridor. The Monkey Project was initially spearheaded by the PNA business group with the intent to bring a spirit and tradition unique to the Finneywood community. They chose monkeys as a complement to Woodland Park Zoo's wild blights, perhaps as escaped animals from that display. It's cute. However, the Finney Neighborhood Association did not properly take into account the extended history of monkeys being used as a racist symbol, with black people being derogatorily referred to as monkeys, symbolically and in language. We do not want to cause any hurt or harm to our black community members or visitors, nor reinforce this symbolism. So the board of directors voted July 21st to permanently retire the Monkey Project. This is just one step in our work of dismantling systemic racism. We recognize that losing this winter tradition could be disappointing, but we hope you will stand with us in our efforts to become an anti-racist organization. We are committed to working with our business advisory group to research, develop, and implement an alternate Finneywood tradition to unite businesses and community. And so, we no longer will have...
Here we come, walk down the street, get funniest looks from everyone we meet.
Hey, hey, we're the monkeys, and people say we're monkeying around, but we're too busy singing to put anybody down.
We go where we want to.
So, we cannot have a five-year Christmas time tradition in the Finney neighborhood because it somehow is racist. That's a bizarre mindset. The reality is, it's only racist if that's your intent. If they did it to pay tribute to the Woodland Park Zoo, and the Wild Lights Christmas display there, where they have these lit up silhouetted animals, including monkeys. There's nothing racist about that. And when they say, so this will help us to become an anti-racist organization. So are they saying that they were intentionally racist or even unintentionally racist by doing something that was just complete, total, whimsical fun? And then I have to read to you the rest of this letter from the Finney Neighborhood Association, because the monkeys is the funniest. The most ridiculous is the rest of this letter that went out 4 days ago. If I can get through this. In addition to the monkey symbolism, it came to our attention that a water fountain in the Finney Center, presented to some community members as a legacy or symbol of segregation and caused discomfort and pain. As background, our blue building was built in 1904 as a Seattle public school and remained in operation as a school until 1981. The small water fountain in the lobby was the only fountain on that level until 2012, when we installed a modern ADA-accessible water fountain and bottle filler as part of larger accessibility and conservation projects that included an elevator and other improvements. When the new fountain was installed, the PNA decided to keep the old fountain as part of the building's historic character and for easier use by smaller children. We did not realize at the time that the I'm sorry. Okay. I'm going to read this. We did not realize at the time that the presence of two separate water fountains could bring up imagery of racial segregation. Facilities staff first heard about the second water fountain making some community members uncomfortable on July 8th. After a brief consultation with our leadership, maintenance staff removed the historic water fountain on July 10th. We have a little cosmetic work to finish, but are glad to have addressed the concern as soon as we became aware of it. So they had a water fountain that had been in the building since 1904. They added a second water fountain and bottle filler. And somebody said, the fact that we have two water fountains reminds us of racial segregation. Now, they didn't have a white Sony only and a, you know, to use the language of the 50s, a coloreds only. They didn't have signs over the fountains saying that. Anybody could use the historic fountain. Anybody could use the bottle filler fountain. What are we playing here? What am I listening to?
Oh, some old school Beastie Boys, Brass Monkey.
I'm talking about water fountains now.
Oh, I know.
I've moved on from the monkey story.
I guess that's been on my mind the entire time, because when you started playing the monkeys, I was literally looking it up to bump out the show with it, and I've been just stuck on monkey thoughts ever since.
Okay. No, keep going. Keep going with the Beastie Boys. Okay, so, because someone complained about the fact that they had two water fountains in this building, they immediately moved to remove one that had been there for 116 years. As I said, someone from this organization is going to come on with us, I believe at 2 o'clock today, 2 or 2:30. And I'm thrilled, because I'd like to ask them about all this. But this is where woke culture has gotten us. We can't have LED monkeys and two water fountains is one too many. Oh, man. Hey, I want to bump out with my song, Sean, instead. Come on.
Fine.
Here we come. Walking down the street.
Oh, man. I'm so glad we've emerged from the dark ages of December 2019 and are now in the enlightened, woke time of July 2020. And then we're getting rid of LED monkeys on Fitty Ridge. And that is your Fastest 15. We're going to check the news for you. We're going to talk to an organizer of a Defend the Police rally on a day when a resolution has been proposed to eliminate the Seattle police. And then, next hour, someone from the Finney Neighborhood Association will explain why we can't have LED monkeys or two water fountains. That is all coming up. You don't want to miss a second of the rest of today's Dory Monson Show. Stick around. Well, there's been so much talk, including this proposal before the city council today to not just cut the Seattle police budget by 50%, but to completely eliminate the Seattle Police Department, replace it with some civilian-led unit that our Marxist city council members will create. Now more than ever, it is time for the sensible, silent majority to stand up and be heard. Tomorrow morning, there's going to be a rally, Saturday morning rally at Seattle City Hall, 10 a.m. to noon. Defend, not defund, Seattle Police. One of the rally organizers is Yana Dowling, who joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. Yana, I appreciate you coming on with me today.
Thanks for having me.
Before I get to the rally, your reaction to today's news about the Seattle City Council proposal now to completely eliminate the Seattle Police Department.
I think it's a bold decision. I think they're not listening to what people really want. They're listening just to a little, small group of people who are just very vocal, unfortunately, more vocal than we are. But what they're doing is they're not thinking about what the consequences would be. And that's very dangerous, as far as I'm concerned.
I think they know exactly what the consequences will be. The consequences will be mass criminality, just chaos in our city. But that's their stated goal of the Marxists. They want to destroy our city. They want to rebuild out of the rubble this Marxist utopia. So I would disagree if they don't know what the consequences are. I think that they are doing this very purposefully.
You're probably right. I actually grew up in a socialist country, so I know, and I grew up in Bulgaria during the communist regime. And I know firsthand what things will look like. So,
where did you grow up?
Bulgaria.
Okay. With that informing your worldview, what can you share with us about this attempted Marxist takeover of the city that so far seems to be working?
Well, unfortunately, the Marxist ideology sounds really good on paper, especially for younger people who are not familiar with history. So just like it happened in Bulgaria back in the 1940s, young people were very excited about overturning the oppression that they felt was happening in the country. And they did that, and it was all, they were all good people, all did it for a good cause. That's what they felt. And then they found out that it just doesn't work that way. It is the same thing here. We have a lot of good young people who are college educated for the most part, but they have, in my view, no common sense and just no experience whatsoever in real world stuff. And they want to do what they think is the right thing, but it's not. And they don't understand it. And talking to them has been really, really difficult for me because I know exactly where this is going, like I said. And whenever I argue with one of those people, it's like a brick wall. They just don't hear anything you're saying.
Well, I absolutely agree with you. What they do not understand is that power corrupts. And if you give government complete control of our economy, which is what Marxism's about. Government controls everything. Government will divvy it up. And we've seen in Cuba, we've seen in South America, you know, how tragic this is. I mean, people in Cuba were going on improvised rafts, knowing there was a likelihood they were going to die, trying to get to Florida because they were so desperate to escape communism. And that's where, if they don't think that these city council members, or if they do think these city council members are going to stop with just the Seattle Police Department, they are sadly mistaken.
Oh, yeah, I don't think they're going to still do it. This is just the beginning. And it's a terrible thing that's happening. I can't believe it. I mean, I came here thinking this is a different country, and it was for a long time. And now all of a sudden this is happening. And I'm like, do I have to go back to where I came from? Because it's going to be better there than here.
That is really frightening. To hear you say that. That is an incredibly frightening thing, and the sad part about it is you may be right. So, I know what the next target's going to be after the Seattle Police. It's going to be our schools. They're going to go after our children, and they're going to go after the schools, and they're going to hijack that budget. And I'm going to get into that in the days to come with my listeners. Okay, tell me about your event tomorrow morning. Defend, not defund, Seattle Police.
So what happened is my daughter and I, she's a high school senior, her name's Jasmine. We're watching the terrible attitude towards police officers after, you know, the murder of George Floyd. Sure. And we just felt it was so unfair, and nobody was speaking up. And we're talking, okay, why is nobody doing anything? It's like nobody's saying a single thing about this. And we decided that if nobody else is going to, we're going to do something about it. And the first thing we did was we did some thank you cards for police officers, sent them out, and my daughter posted on Instagram. And immediately all her classmates just literally attacked her in the most vicious way you can imagine. But it was ugly, like the comments that she was getting from people that she goes to school with.
Yeah.
And I thought, I mean, she's 17, so I thought she was going to get scared. Instead, she got even more motivated, and she's like, well, I want to do a rally. So it was really her idea to do that. She started to send out an interest form. We got a lot of responses immediately, and most people were saying, we want to come, but we're afraid. What can we do to support you? And we set the date, started the rally. People started coming in. And then I partnered up with Beth Durenciak. She's a candidate for state representative for the 46th district. And she said she wants to do another rally. What about, you know, we can combine our efforts and do this, you know, at one date. So we started working together at that point. And it just grew from there. A lot of people were responding. So now we have about maybe 300 people coming tomorrow, hopefully. And just want to be heard and, you know, let the city council know what we feel, that there really is a silent majority, as they call us, who feel this is a terrible idea, but also just to show the citizens of Seattle that we are here, because right now there's really not much out there because, again, people are afraid to say anything.
Well, I hope we can get a lot more than 300. I hope my listeners can make it to Seattle City Hall 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. Before you told me about the vicious attacks on your daughter, when you said that it was her idea, I was going to say, I bet your daughter is a very strong young woman, because I know what it's like for high school kids who dare not kneel before the mob. And it is tragic. The bullying, the viciousness. And again, this is why this is domestic terrorism that we're talking about. They want to terrorize your daughter and anybody who doesn't think like them to mandate our thought. And I'm very, very much admirable of your daughter for being strong enough to withstand that.
Yeah, I am too. I'm very proud of her. And, you know, myself, I've gotten a lot of very vicious attacks on social media as well. I've been following Twitter feeds where they're discussing who I am, what I do for a living, where they can find me and all that stuff.
Yeah.
It's kind of scary. It's kind of scary because you never know when they will show up to my door or anything like that. So.
Well, and that's why people need to understand this fight is about domestic terrorism. It's and that's why we got to fight for our cops, too. Well, Yana, we're out of time. I'd love to talk to your daughter sometime. Maybe next week. Could I get her on the show?
Absolutely, yeah. Anytime.
I would love that. Okay, we're going to get in touch. We'll do that. Yana, good luck with the event. It's the Defend Not Defund Seattle Police Rally, 10 a.m. tomorrow morning, Seattle City Hall. And let's show up in numbers here. Let's make sure the silent majority is heard. Yana, great talking with you. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. Have a good
Okay, day. My pleasure. Okay. Yana Dowling, love to get your feedback on all of this as well. Text me at 98973. Lots more straight ahead on the Dory Monson Show. Hey. Did Tracy Taylor and her coronavirus outlet just talk about monkeys?
Here we come.
It's the theme of the hour on the Dory Monson Show. Oh, man.
Dory, I actually do have that clip. If you wanted to hear it again.
I've spent almost the entire Fastest 15 talking about monkeys. And I was getting ready for... to do something else this segment, and then I heard in my headphones something about monkeys.
And then I heard you in queue just laughing maniacally, hysterically, and then you're like, Sean, you gotta get this!
That is what I did.
Pretty much.
Okay, can I hear what the new monkey news is?
Yeah, it's about 20 seconds in.
And now, your coronavirus medical update. A search for the cure.
I'm Tracy Taylor. Now that Moderna and Pfizer are in phase 3 trials of a possible COVID-19 vaccine, more volunteers are needed to reach 30,000 for each study. Dr. Marcus Zervos, Division Chief of Infectious Disease at Henry Ford Health System in Detroit, talks to the AP on what to expect if you volunteer.
The participation is totally voluntary. And there's a website that we'll provide in terms of anybody who might be potentially interested. There's then a screening process that takes place.
If you'd like to participate in the study, the website is coronaviruspreventionnetwork.org.
There's no monkeys there.
Sponsored by the
Was there no monkeys?
Wearing a mask.
There's no monkeys.
Oh, I thought I heard monkey.
I heard monkey in the one that aired.
Well, then I pulled,
but not in the one you replayed.
But the one that I pulled and replayed, I thought she said monkey, and then Diane got nervous and thought my mic was on but not supposed to be, so then I wasn't listening to that half a second. So no monkeys?
No monkeys!
Man, sorry, Dory.
Monkeys aired, but monkeys weren't in the room. Okay, but I'm very excited because, as we talked about extensively in the Fastest 15, the Finney Nape... Is Nicole on the line now? I hear your mic on.
I was trying to explain why that didn't have the monkey cut in it, because it's on a rotator.
Oh, I know. That's what
so
I told
played the
Dory.
Next hour.
Yeah.
So Sean played the one that was going to air the next hour.
But I pulled it while it was on the air, so I thought if I caught it before it rotated, you know, then I could, then it would work.
You didn't catch it.
Because I used the vernacular rotator when I was talking to Dory, too, so, you know.
I don't know what a rotator is, even. The only rotator I know is my cuff.
Right.
But, okay. So
anyway, well, we wasted that segment.
Let's get some quarter-hour points for that.
I'll salvage it. Okay, so anyway, here's the very exciting news, though. If you are just joining us, the Finney Neighborhood Association, after 5 years of the Monkey Project, where they hung LED monkeys in the windows of businesses, they now have said we are ending this tradition because one person complained that monkeys somehow, not somehow, but that they were a sign of racial something or other. And so they're going to get rid of the monkeys at the Finney Neighborhood Association. They also have a 116-year-old school building that has a really old water fountain and then a water fountain they put in 8 years ago. And the same person complained that the presence of two water fountains was also brings up a horrible imagery of racial segregation. So anyway, Very excited because somebody from the Finney Neighborhood Association is actually going to talk to us about all of this. We will lead off the big lead at 2 with that coming up next hour. We'll check the news for you, and then you will hear their response next. It's all an exclusive here on the Dory Monson Show. Put anybody down.